Welcome to In the Studio. For three decades now, the first-person stories of and by the greatest rock musicians in history. I'm Redbeard, your conductor on this rock and roll train, and today in the studio, it's those Tres Hombres of ZZ Top.
First night we played there was the roof blew off.
Company was Beaver Productions. We gave him a three-legged beaver for Christmas, and he let the beaver get loose in the warehouse, and he ate the stage. The stage collapsed, and the building shut down forever.
Hey, this is Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top.
And this is Dusty Hill of ZZ Top.
And I'm Frank Beard, and you're in the studio.
The first ZZ Top album was recorded and released in 1970 into a world that had never heard of Stevie Ray Vaughan. He was just a skinny kid that was going to middle school in Dallas back then. When ZZ Top's first album debuted, there was no award-winning Austin City Limits television live music series. Heck, the PBS network was barely a dream. Austin's legendary Armadillo World headquarters that would spawn the legends of Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, and many more was still several years away. In 1970, ZZ Top's only Texas contemporaries on the national music scene were Steve Miller, Boz Scaggs, and Johnny Winter. But Miller and Scaggs were being marketed as San Francisco by way of Chicago bluesmen, not Texans. That left Johnny Winter and his younger, jazzier brother Edgar to blaze a trail for ZZ Top to follow out of Texas. But the Winter brothers quickly relocated to New York City. That left ZZ Top to defend the musical Alamo back home in the Lone Star State, something they've done without fail ever since. I asked drummer Frank Beard and bass player, singer Dusty Hill of ZZ Top how they first hooked up with guitarist, vocalist Billy Gibbons.
Dusty and I played with the American Blues in Dallas, and Billy played with the Moving Sidewalks out of Houston. And, of course, we knew of each other, and came the time that I needed a job, went to Houston and, you know, in a Volkswagen with a set of drums and said, hey, hire me. So that's how I met Billy.
And then I had moved to Houston, not knowing Frank was down there. And I was playing in some club, and Frank just accidentally walked in, and he says, man, you got to come play with this guy. So I said, okay.
I later apologized for that, Redbeard, to Dusty.
who he's going to pick out today.
She's all that I want.
band's savior, career-wise, had been legendary Texas independent record promoter Bill Ham, who offered to sign the band as their manager and record producer, promising the group that he could get ZZ Top signed to the Rolling Stones label, London Records. In return, the move would give Ham virtual total control of the band. Billy Gibbons, Dusty Hill, and Frank Beard recall how it happened.
He wandered by the rehearsal hall. There was quite a clatter going on, and he kind of liked what he heard, and handed us each a cigar and said, "Boys, I'm gonna make you a star.
Come with me, boy."
Yeah.
It didn't hurt that he had John Mayall as a house guest at the time either. Kind of impressed us.
Well, the Rolling Stones had been on London. And we thought that was real cool. So Ham did his thing up there and got us on the label. And then we cut the first album and just traveled it. You know, worked 6-7 days out of every week.
$6 and $7 a night.
We had a very nice little station wagon that we'd travel around in and stay at the Scottish Inn and The Motel
Inn.
6.
And at one time, we had a step van. Did we have two roadies? We had all the equipment in there, and we wedged ourselves up on top of the gear so there was a little space. And then we'd put a sack over the light inside and make a little club atmosphere. And just going down the road like that, played cards.
It's kind of like vampire travel.
Yeah.
Full of change.
By this time, the Allman Brothers Band was America's top seller and concert draw, spawning a flurry of signings in their wake, dubbed by the music critics as Southern Rock. However, historically and culturally, Texans have never identified with their Dixie brethren in the Southeast, and ZZ Top's sound was no exception. Here's bass player Dusty Hill, followed by drummer Frank Beard of ZZ Top.
We played pretty close to Texas for a good while, you know, Louisiana, Oklahoma. When we started getting up north, you know, most people expected us to move to Los Angeles or New York because that's just the way it was done back then.
Yeah, we got a lot of the grouped in with the, you know, they took the whole South there and created a genre, you know,
Southern us and Boogie Man.
Lynyrd Skynyrd and the Allman Brothers and Molly Hatchet and
Marshall Tucker,
38 Special, Point Blank.
They just didn't, they wanted to call us something.
Though a Texas trio, ZZ Top quickly found a fan base just east of the Lone Star State in a converted New Orleans warehouse.
The warehouse. The first time we played there, Bill conned Don Fox, who owned it, into letting us play there. He didn't really know us. And it was Mardi Gras. And so, therefore, there was no place to stay at all in New Orleans. So we slept there. You know, up in the dressing room. You know, Don Fox, he was suspicious. He put a guard on us, you know, so that we wouldn't be dragging women in there or whatever. Anyway, so we kept playing, and every time we played the warehouse, it was more wild. It was one of the crazy places to play. We played there with a lot of different bands. And so when we thought about doing some live recording, you know, naturally with all the warehouse.
The first night we played there was the roof blew off.
We thought we did it.
A hurricane had come through New Orleans and literally took the roof off our heads, and we knew we had found the right place to play.
That was a really great place to go and play, and we played there many times until one Christmas we gave Don Fox, whose company was Beaver Productions, we gave him a three-legged beaver for Christmas, and he let the beaver get loose in the warehouse, and he ate the stage. The stage collapsed, and the building shut down forever.
Gonna pay. Follow In the Studio in our 30th anniversary year on Facebook at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard, and you're in the studio with Billy Gibbons, Dusty Hill, and Frank Beard, those Trace Hombres of ZZ Top.
Hey, this is Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top saying welcome back to In the Studio, and now back to the man who spends half his life trying to convince people he's not in ZZ Top. Take it away, Mr. Redbeard.
Thank you, Billy. It's the anniversary of ZZ Top's July 1973 third album, Trace Hombres, which Rolling Stone magazine includes on their top 500 albums of all time. The first two ZZ Top albums were recorded in a tiny studio in the East Texas town of Tyler. For Trace Hombres, they moved to famed Ardent Studios in Memphis, and the sonic benefits of their facilities and personnel were quite evident. I asked Billy Gibbons why they chose Memphis, a relationship that would continue for two decades.
We've always kind of ascribed to the old phrase, T for Texas, T for Tennessee. There was something about it we never could quite figure it out, but we decided to go up and check it out. I suppose that by sticking in Memphis, it offered us a little psychological advantage of maybe getting away from the house for a while.
Yeah, but you could do that in any city.
Possibly. However, when you get into Memphis and you start breathing that air and you feel that musical vibe hit you and it's just right there, it inspires you to write. You can go to Memphis and there's just something that comes over you. I don't know if it's just this lineage of rich musical heritage going back to
W.C. Handy.
So far back, yeah, and it's still there. It really is still there. So we go up and breathe it, live it, and see what we can do with it.
Time, singer Billy Gibbons had started using strange character voices on the album Trace Hombres with Move Me On Down the Line. On that song, he adopted an affectation of a lisp. And when I saw ZZ Top play in Ohio in 1972, they wore cowboy hats and western boots, which was unheard of in post-Woodstock hippie rock world back then. Maybe it was partly because of the influence of border radio in the 50s and 60s, Dusty Hill says.
Originally, we were talking about growing up, Frank and I in the Dallas area and Billy in the Houston, Texas area. There were these radio stations out of Mexico with like 500,000 watts. They just blanket the area way up to the Midwest. And you were privy to hear a lot of blues on this station that you wouldn't hear on the regular rock and roll stations back then. And it had a lot of influence on us growing up.
Frank, for folks who have not heard border radio from the 50s and 60s, I'm told that what went in between the records was often as colorful or interesting as the R&B records and the ranchera music that you'd hear. What kind of bizarre things did you hear in between records?
Well, the scam on these radio stations was that you could buy 30-minute programming for anything. So the companies that would be putting out this blues show or maybe a religious show or whatever, you could get prayer cloths signed by Jesus Christ himself, or you could get goat gland operations to improve your sex life.
Wait a minute. A goat gland operation in Mexico?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Where do I book a flight for that?
What else could you get, Billy?
Oh, you know, 200 baby chicks, $3.
That's a good one.
They ship them to you in the mail? Oh, my. Oh, my.
They didn't have overnight delivery back then.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They sure didn't. Riding down the floodways on a Friday night. The landscape's a fine and natural sight. Just cruising slow through the dark of night. With precious and grace, everything's alright. Good God Almighty.
Tres Hombres' gatefold album cover had an inside photo of a sumptuous Mexican food banquet that the ZZ Top band members remember from the photo shoot.
We were all there.
We ate it after it was over.
except for the beer, which was by the time the photo shoot was over, was no good anymore.
Wow, Southern Select.
Southern Select.
Man.
which they don't make anymore.
We probably caused that. Yeah. But not the closing not the of LaGrange, but the closing of the Southern Select Brewery. Maybe so.
Southern Select. They had to take quite a few photos because we kept nibbling at it. And they said, no, it's just for the camera. And I went, well, get some more.
That place, Leo's Mexican Restaurant, that provided that food literally kept ZZ Top alive during the first year or two that we were a band. All we had to do was present ourselves at the door and say we were hungry, and they would feed us. And if we didn't have any money, we'd bring it to them later. And
Leo, the old man, actually rode with Pancho Villa when he was like 13 or something. Yeah, very interesting guy.
Also, there is the Mexican girl in there, in the one little photo.
She was the star of the Mexican Revolution. She took a bullet and yet kept her strength and sanity, held the flag that either Villa or Zapata had
one of those guys, right?
Left.
Or both.
One or both.
All of them.
It all left.
Nobody just left.
You had no idea there was such history in this album cover.
And you'll also notice on the radio, it's dialed to
XERF.
XERF, which is heard it on the X, another song we did. It's about, the bandit stations down there. It's tuned to that. To their number.
Uh-huh.
beer drinkers and hell raisers. No doubt written after playing one of the many notorious Gun and Knife Club roadhouses that dotted the outskirts of many Texas towns, with chicken wire stretched across the front of the stage to catch the incoming beer bottles tossed at the band. From the July 1973 third ZZ Top album, Tres Hombres, up next, Billy Gibbons, Dusty Hill, and Frank Beard tell how border radio influenced ZZ Top's naughty sense of humor and the bizarre story behind the song Master of Sparks. Follow In the Studio in our 30th anniversary year on Facebook at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Billy, Dusty, and Frank on the 45th anniversary of Tres Hombres from ZZ Top.
Say, man, what are you fixing to do? You got to listen right here, broadcasting live, high atop the McKinley Morgan Field Middle School on the Stovall Plantation. This is Iuka, Mississippi's own Reverend Willie G with another inspirational verse from the book of 1 Kings. That be B.B., Freddie, and Albert. Have mercy.
Yeah. Oh, Queen Bee Barbecue.
Yeah.
All right. It
says, what are you fixing to do?
Yeah, I just noticed. Yeah.
That's cool.
I'll be tithing.
Thank you, the Right Reverend Billy F. Gibbons, an ordained minister of the blues. I'm Redbeard. This is the anniversary of ZZ Top's breakthrough third album, Tres Hombres. 6 months after release, instead of dwindling sales like their previous two albums, the band members noticed a strange phenomenon stemming from the song LaGrange, named after the location of the notorious Chicken Ranch Bordello outside of Houston. Here's Billy Gibbons, Dusty Hill, and Frank Beard of ZZ Top.
We kept hearing y'all play that how song.
On the street.
On the street,
you know, yeah. When you start hearing word of mouth and you hear it everywhere, that's the indication, you know, that somebody's listening, you know. And so people stop you on the street and start talking about it and referring to it, you know, any way they can. And then, of course, AM radio getting on it, too. That was definite indication.
I asked ZZ Top how they explained the song's lyrics as LaGrange began getting airplay on conservative top 40 AM radio stations in 1973. Here's how Dusty Hill and Frank Beard of ZZ Top responded.
We tried not to a lot.
That whole thing coincided with the closing down of when we wrote the song and put it out. LaGrange was going strong, and it seemed like maybe a month after the song came out was when the local newscaster from Houston raised the big stink and got the place closed down, which created national publicity. And we kind of wrote this song as a celebration, and ended up being a eulogy.
Rumors spreading around in that Texas town about the shack outside the game. You know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that whole mile on the range. They got a lot of nice girls. I'm racing. Be a mistake.
That song changed the course of ZZ Top's career in 1973 from the Trace Ombre's album. A Houston TV newscaster named Marvin Zindler and a local politician used the Chicken Ranch Bordello at LaGrange for their own personal agendas. The whole thing would eventually be turned into a hit Broadway musical and movie, The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. But in 1974, the scandal resulted in the closing of the Chicken Ranch. ZZ Top's Dusty Hill says that some of the Chicken Ranch's sympathizers wrongly blamed the band.
Everyone knew about the place. I mean, it was no secret. This guy that caused all the stir about it was just that, causing a stir about it, something that everybody knew about. Because we've had a couple of people that, you know, kind of like blame us for the closing. And we didn't let any cats out of bags or anything. I mean, I think that was already in the works. We didn't know about it.
From their very first album, Sexual Innuendo and Double Entendre would permeate ZZ Top's lyrics. Yet somehow they've avoided becoming a target of religious conservatives and the opportunistic politicians who pander to them every 4 years. Billy, Dusty, and Frank think they know why.
We learned from the tradition of the blues.
Just an implication, you know. I don't know, you know. I mean, I've never thought we've...
We're good old Southern boys, and our mamas wouldn't let us go any further than that. You know how that is.
Yeah. It doesn't, like you said, it doesn't normally even come up as an issue. And we don't bring it up. I mean, you know, I think people see the humor in the songs, and, you know, that excuses a lot of things.
But the national success of Trace Ombre's culminated in an enormous homecoming in the summer of 1974 at the massive University of Texas football stadium in Austin, where legendary football coach Darryl Royal ran the Texas athletic department with an iron hand. Football is a kind of religion in the Lone Star State. University of Texas Longhorn football is sacred to many, and that makes the University football stadium in Austin hallowed ground. The student union got permission to host a ZZ Top concert in the university stadium only after assuring Coach Darryl Royal that an estimated 5,000 students would attend. Here's Dusty Hill, followed by Frank Beard.
Yeah, well, they kind of miscalculated. Hmm. I think it was 85,000. Well, they had brand new AstroTurf, and it hadn't had a game played on it yet. And, of course, somebody cut out a shape of Texas, a chunk out of the AstroTurf, and the coach down there took it not well. So that was a really fun show for us. That whole show was strange. I mean, unique unto itself on a lot of levels. I think it was in the summer, so it was hot, and of course we were at the hotel most of the afternoon, so we kind of just cruise on over. But these people had been there all day, and we came on at probably, you couldn't have timed it better. They were just at the peak of their having their good time. So the show, we had
we stopped that right away.
Yeah, we put a stop to that. But Santana was on the show.
Bad Company.
They'd been well entertained all day, but it was just perfect timing. And I remember going back to the hotel after the show, and we had a party, big party, all the promoters and record people and everything. And it was just a overall great feeling. And I heard about that gig for years and on a lot of different levels, too. Like, man, I was there, and I had a great time. And then somebody accosted me in a grocery store one time, wanted to know why I didn't provide more restrooms. You know, I said, well, hey, I ran out, you know. So
Dusty was in charge of restaurants, yes, for that show.
As normally I am. It took us years before we played Austin again.
Uh-huh. Basically, they screwed up. I mean, they trusted us. It was, I think, the first and last show ever at the UT football stadium.
And the song Master of Sparks, one of the great mysteries of the Trace Ombre's album, turns out to be a bizarre ritual of redneck road surfing. Here's Billy Gibbons.
Oh, gosh, that goes back to the Trace Ombre's period, and we built a ball, steel ball, out of some cage wire, and the thing to do on a Saturday night down in Texas was you put it in the back of a pickup truck, get going about 60 miles an hour, and slide out the back. And
no!
It was
there was a seat bolted inside. It was a sphere. And whoever was in the seat, the other ones pushed it off the back of the pickup, going about 60, and sparks. Yeah. Did we do it? No, that would be illegal.
Good answer. Good answer. What would happen?
I'll put it this way. I was once 6'3".
Rock and Roll Hall of Famers have an unsurpassed longevity that has outlasted fickle trends, technological changes, and economic roller coasters. Here's ZZ Top drummer Frank Beard.
We talk about this amongst ourselves a lot, and we've done this band longer than we've done anything else. I mean, longer than we went to school, certainly longer than any marriage that I've had. I mean, it is like being married to these two guys, and it just goes to the fact that we've always stayed true to what we wanted to do, which was just play music and have a good time and try not to make it any harder than that.
I'm Redbeard on the 45th anniversary of Tres Hombres from ZZ Top, back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio thanking my guests Billy Gibbons, Frank Beard, and Dusty Hill. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly for Bearded Fish Productions, copyright 2018, all rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brune, theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, @RedbeardRocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.